Let's start out with prayer. Then I'm going to begin here. Father, we're so gracious for your presence and for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your willingness to bless us and to walk with us, to teach us, to show us, to minister to us. We look to you, Lord. You're the giver of life. You're the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, our eyes are on you. Our thoughts are on you. Our hope is on you. So have your way. Guide us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we grow in the things of the Lord, something that we must learn, and this isn't my notes here, I just want to share this. Yes, we have an adversary out there, but not everything is the adversary. When we're growing in the Lord, God desires to mold us. When we're growing and being shaped, and look at my hands when I say shaped, because we're like clay, and when God begins to shape us, he's putting pressure on us. It's God desiring to put his character and to put his finite details in our lives. But more times than not, we misinterpret that pressure and we start rebuking the enemy because it doesn't feel right. Well, of course it's not going to feel right. Pressure is not pleasant, but it's not always the devil. We've got to learn. And that's where the scripture in Hebrews chapter 5 and starting at 14, where it says, talks about how that strong meat belongs to those who are mature and their senses are disciplined to discern what's good and what's not good. Now, the title of this is Your Time of Preparation. Your Time of Preparation. What does God see? Ultimately, we are all called to be servants of the Lord. And so, ultimately, he's preparing us through the Holy Spirit for that service, right? It's called sanctification, our preparation. So, when God is preparing, working in your life, what does he see? Now, let's look at things that are introduced into this world, a new invention, a new idea. Before anything new is released or introduced into the world, what must it go through? Pardon?
Testing?
Pressure.
Fire.
Patent.
Quality control.
Keep going. How about durability? Is it going to last? Is it strong? Is it going to wear down? Reliability. How about safety? Accuracy. You know, a new watch comes out, you know. Will it be accurate? Is it accurate? Will it hold the accuracy? Or new instruments of measuring, you know, that have to be accurate. Here's an interesting one. Aesthetics. Does everybody know what that means?
Yep.
Somebody go ahead. What does that mean?
Visual appearance.
Visual appearance. How does it look? When I introduce this, what's it going to look like? Or when I introduce this, what do I want it to look like? Aesthetics. How about this one? Is it ethical? You know, there are inventions that come out that they're not, you know, they're evil inventions. But even at that, they've proved them out to be evil. And they'll work. You know, evil people do evil things. So, with God, what does he see? Or what does he want to see? In doing that, God will evaluate. If you're taking notes, you're going to want to write these down. Let me step back a little bit. I want to throw down some scriptures at you. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Let's not leave the word out. 1 Chronicles 28:9. If you have your Bibles, we want to look at that scripture. First Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that the Lord, the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts. And understanding and all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Another scripture in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17:3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts. And Revelation 2:23. Revelation 2, verse 23. This is talking about that they've allowed a woman named Jezebel to be in their church. And he says, I'll start at verse 22 just to get a little context. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So God, what does God see? Well, he sees your heart. He sees your thoughts. He sees your intentions. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to produce the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness. Because that is the character of God. So God will evaluate. And let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles 29:17. This is David. 1 Chronicles 29:17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. One of the things that we looked at, that when they're evaluating new things into the world, is it ethical? God takes pleasure in uprightness. God takes pleasure in uprightness. We can translate uprightness as always doing right, always being ethical, always doing that which is true. But we have to have a standard. So, always doing right according to what? God's word. A lot of people do what is right according to their own way. And that always ends up hurting somebody. But when we do what's right according to God's word, it produces good stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in your heart and whether you would keep his commandments or no. So who brought some of the trials? Think about this. When the children of Israel first thing came out of Egypt, they were backed against the sea. Who put them against the sea? Who told them to go there?
God
did. It was a test. What did they do? They began complaining right away. When they came to a time where there was a place with no water, what did they do? When they ran out of food, what did they do? He says, I remember all the way that the Lord God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Everything is a test. Understand. So, the children of Israel had some very uncomfortable things happen when they were in the wilderness, right? It wasn't the devil that did it. It was God that brought them to those places to see what was in their heart. Think about it. Proverbs 16:2. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works unto the Lord, verse 3, and your thoughts shall be established. Keep your hand in Proverbs and go to chapter 21. And verse 2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. He looks at the heart and he ponders. What will God evaluate? We said in this time of preparation, what does God see? When he's looking at you to be a servant, being prepared, what does he see? And what will he evaluate? First, well, I'm not going to say this is the first thing, but this is one of the bullets here. He'll evaluate your submission. Are you submitted? That's what he asked. I tested you in the wilderness to see if you would keep my commandments or not. I tested you to see if you would submit to my word or not. Well, what did we learn about them? They didn't. They wouldn't. He'll evaluate your submission. He will evaluate, again, out of Deuteronomy 8, he will evaluate your trust. And so, in after trust, put a slash, put faith, slash, patience, slash, contentment. If you're walking in faith, if you're walking in true faith, you will walk in patience. You will be trusting. You will be content. Because faith believes those things that are not right now, but faith believes they will be, and he takes rest in that. No doubt. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, have the faith of God. And if you do, you can say unto this mountain, be removed. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe what you say will come to pass, you'll have what you say. But you can't vacillate. You can't start off with energy, yeah, and then after a while, whoa. That's why we need that energy from the Word. He will evaluate your obedience. Will you do what the Word says? God told Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, be of strong courage, be brave, have the guts to obey this word. It takes guts to go against the flow of the system. It takes guts to go against all the psychology and all the wisdom of the world and to stand alone. That's why going back to this trust, but we have to know and believe and be confident, not that in ourselves we're right, I'm right. No, God's word says that he's right, and I choose to believe God's word. Therefore, I'm right. If you line up with God's word, you're always going to be right. It's not you, it's his word. So when you come against some opposition and you stand with the word, it's not you, it's the word. This is what the word says. If you get into, this is what I think, you're sunk. Because you're not sent to tell what you think. You're not sent to tell what you think. Jesus said, I only say what the Father tells me. Jesus was the express logos, word of God. So when he spoke, he says, I speak the truth. Because I say what the Father gives me. And doesn't the Bible say he was the life, the truth, and the way? The way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, the life. So, remember, when you're sent out, you're not sent out to give your opinion. You're sent out to share the good news, Jesus Christ. God will evaluate your obedience / willingness. Are you willing, when the word gives you direction, to put your neck out? Or do you hesitate and do you draw back? Oh, I don't know. When the word gives you instruction. Trust, faith, is, in one sense, taking a risk. But on the other hand, we have insider information. So it's really not a risk. It's spiritual, and because it's spiritual, the carnal looks at it as a risk. But once we overcome that carnal thinking and we mesh with the Spirit, it's a no-brainer. Not a risk. We always win. We always come out ahead. Regardless of what happens, we always win. What will God evaluate? Your ethics. Are you ethical? Do you do what is right? Do you respond according to God's word without fudging? A little. He tests your ethics to do what is right. God will evaluate your dedication / your commitment. How committed are you to kingdom? Is kingdom first? Or is kingdom secondary? Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, we're all going to have opportunity to have our commitment challenged. Many people, it's easier to commit and be faithful to a job or responsibility like that than to the house of God. God will evaluate your character. / who do you resemble? When people see you outside in the world, what do you resemble? Do you resemble Christ? Or do you resemble the world? What will God evaluate? Your attitude. When so-and-so doesn't look at you the right way, what do you do? When so-and-so doesn't seem to say the right thing, what do you do? When things don't go your way, What do you do? Everything is a test. Everything. What will God evaluate? How much word is in you? Open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 66. What is God looking for? When he's looking, what does he see? What is he looking for? When you're being evaluated, when anything is being evaluated, there are specific things that are being looked for, that the evaluator is looking for. Look at this. Verse 2, Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord. But to this man will I look. This is the person God is saying that I will pay attention to. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Poor doesn't mean poverty. Poor means lowly, humility. Contrite is broken. And the person who trembles at my word. God looks, how much of this word are you retaining, are you maintaining? Because as we've come to know, everything is precipitated upon his word. His word is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. What will God evaluate? Your eyesight. Your eyesight? Yeah. Do you see the spiritual? Or are your eyes fixated on the carnal? When you're posed with circumstances and situations, what do you see first? Is it spiritual or is it carnal? God will evaluate how good you are at following his commands. Yes, sir, I'll get right on it. God will evaluate what are your default responses. When you're hit with a crisis or something unexpected, what are your first actions? What comes out of your mouth? What is your attitude? Do you just fall all apart? You know? What comes out of your mouth? And when God evaluates, he evaluates understanding. Do you understand him? Which means, do you know his ways? Which brings us full circle. Because if we understand God the way we should understand everything is a test. Everything is a test. Because what's at stake? I'm going to close here. Write down what's at stake. destiny? Your destiny? Which is fulfilling what you were put on earth here in this world to do. What's at stake? Eternity? What's at stake? Accountability? Oh, we'll be accountable. That's why the Holy Spirit has been sent to guide us into all truth. Write down the scriptures in just John chapter 16. Read John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit's job is to present you to work. Jesus said, I have to go so that he can come. Hand off the baton. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. He's going to bring to you everything that I have. That's going to be his job. So that you can be equipped, you can be ready, you can be faultless, you can be successful, and you can endure. This is your preparation. This is what God's aim, or what he's aiming for, is for your success. Not his. His word is going to come to pass. His word will come to pass. If we fail, is that going to hinder God's work? No. It'll be handicapped a little bit, you know. Just like, you know, if I lost my pinky finger, I could still work. Be different. It wouldn't be the same. You know, if a person, you know, loses an eye, you can adapt. You can still make it. It wouldn't be the same. And we're all parts of the anatomy of the body of Christ. So that's why the Lord chose tonight for all of my stuff to go wrong. to bring a word, because we are being prepared. Times, rough times, things are happening in this world. And we need to allow that preparation to work in us so that we can function properly in a fallen world. We have to be the light. We have to be the representatives of Jesus Christ, the embodiment, his body, to fulfill his pleasure. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your truth. Thank you for your wisdom and your guidance. And minister unto us, Lord. We need you. Every day, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your presence. Continue your work in our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.